You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
I'm Rich Muller from Centerville on the Eastern Shore of Maryland.
And I'm Glenn DeGeek from Ocala, Florida. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning and the Horse Radio Network for March the 28th, episode 3396. Good morning, Horse World.
Now, from the Man Cave at the Horse Radio Network, the monthly Horse Husbands episode. This one is for you guys. No horse women allowed.
The Eastern Shore of Maryland, and now you can't get to the Western Shore of Maryland because there's a bridge missing.
No, I can get to the Western Shore. Okay. That's the key bridge. I commute over the Bay Bridge. Luckily.
Oh my God. You live in the area though. That must be all. Well, it's all they're talking about across the country. I can't imagine your area.
Yeah. It's going to disrupt a lot of things. It's going to demand a lot more travel over the Bay Bridge as well as around the western side of Baltimore. And
anybody that lived in the Northeast has been on 695 around Baltimore, both directions, and know what a nightmare that is anyway.
So. And the tunnel under the harbor is going to just, it's going to be packed. It's
horse trailers. If you have propane on board, you can't go through the tunnel.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. Anything with propane, hazardous materials, is not gonna go. So
plus it's scary anyway with your horse. It seems real close.
We've done that, but it's
terrifying. Let's be honest.
It reminds me of the Caldecott Tunnel in Oakland, between Oakland and Walnut Creek. So
were you taking horse trailers to that one too? You were going to take the air conditioner or whatever off the top?
It's higher than that. You don't have to worry about that, but it's a little cramped and a little
that
bit
wall
of,
gets awful close.
Yeah, it's a little claustrophobic. Yeah, so, yes.
I've even construction sites where they put the cones and worse yet, they put the concrete barriers, and it seems like your tires are like 6 inches on each tire.
Yeah. Interstate 20 across to South Carolina going to Aiken. A lot of that going on. So
today we have a good friend of mine. He's a golfer by the name of Gabe, and he hosts Let's Play Through. And he's joining us to talk about his show and the hobby of many, many horse husbands out there. Plus, you have a guest coming on, too.
Yes, I do. I have Jamie Grinnell, boyfriend of Morgan Anderson and a son of Jim and Susan Grinnell. Grew up in central Massachusetts. He was a pre-med student and he's now a full-time course builder.
Oh, wow.
And he's done the Fairhill 5-star along with the Carolina International, Morven Park, and the 2018 World Equestrian Games.
And from what I heard, for what we're going to hear, his childhood was interesting growing up with his horsey parents.
I think Jamie actually rode back in those days, but I'm not sure. But we'll get some insight on a lot of those things.
Now, is he's boyfriend of Morgan. Is Morgan a horse person?
Yes, Morgan is a horse person. And she actually, she's a great artist. And she does beautiful portraits of horses, computer generated. And then she also designs some blouses, equestrian
wear,
equestrian wear, sun shirts and whatnot.
Yeah.
And so she makes some beautiful, beautiful shirts.
Very cool. So. All right. Well, we have a fun show. And then auditors, hang on in the post show. Rich just got off a blues cruise, and we're going to find out how that was. I need to find out how the blues cruise was. So now you've been bacheloring it for a long winter here. When does your wife come home from Aiken?
She'll probably be back. The date is the May 6th.
Oh, wow.
It's after the
spring. You got a while yet.
Yeah, I do. She has. It's after the spring event at Stableview.
Oh, wow. Okay. So it's going to be a while till she gets back.
Yeah. Yeah. So she has to stay through that because she's the, it's up through the advanced level. So she'll be doing all the course design for that.
Very cool. Well, I'm sorry you have to wait another month to have a life again. Are you ready for her to come home by the time she comes home?
No. Still have things to do.
Yeah, but that's right. She brings the horses and people. And
Yeah. The grass just started growing up here. So I've got to start mowing, which knocks back any repairs. And it can take a whole weekend to mow all the areas that I have to mow. So.
Well, we were in Aiken for about 5 days, and I still do like Aiken. It has a charm that Ocala doesn't have. The town is charming. It's just a charming town, whereas Ocala is just a town. You know, it's a city.
Yeah.
But it is cool.
Yeah, I was there this last weekend and got to go to the spring steeplechase.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Big thing there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody turned out in all their best attire, and there was, what, 6 races? Mogi and I won with our bookie on.
Oh, do they allow wagering there?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not organized. It's okay. You just do it amongst your tents.
Gotcha.
They have your tailgate areas, and so Mogi has friends down there that get tailgates, and so we go and hang out with them, and a $5 bet turned into $43.
Yeah, you're a big winner.
Yeah. Paid for the parking, and since Mogi forgot her parking pass at home,
I was going to say it paid for some gas on the way home, but no, it didn't.
No. She bought the parking, forgot the pass at the barn, and then so we had to pay for parking again.
That sounds like something I would do.
Yeah.
Hey, I did a survey of auditors, and I asked what hobbies their horse husbands have, and I was surprised we got like 130 answers, and it's a variety of hobbies that the horse husbands have. And one of the things that Jamie and I have always said over the years is that your horse husband should have a hobby, because that gives you more time to go play in the barn, and nobody has to feel guilty. Right. So do you have a hobby other than the horse fixing up the farm?
I tinker with my car.
Yeah,
that's about it. So
do you wish you had a hobby like golf or
what I really wish I had was a street rod car to work on.
Well, but you can fix that, you know.
I know. Well, that's not going to happen. That's going to be way too expensive.
They're getting cheaper right now, actually.
Yeah. I buy a fixer upper and then I dump $20,000-$30,000 in it.
Yep.
And yeah. I'm just happy with what I do. So
my brother bought one already fixed up, and he thought it would be a good idea. This was recently. He thought it'd be a good idea, a fun idea to go to the car shows.
Yeah.
And then he sold it a year later because he learned that sitting at a car show all day is damn boring.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Yeah. Yeah. Unless you just like talking about your car.
Right.
But how
many times can you do that? You know, it's
No, I wouldn't go to the car shows. I probably would go to the car shows. I probably wouldn't stay very long, but I just enjoy driving and stuff.
Yeah.
So,
all right. Well, one of the things that people did, one of the horse husbands did. Now, the most popular was golf, by the way.
Golf.
Golf led the way by far. But road rally racing was something that they did. And I didn't even know they did road rally racing anymore.
Yeah, it's a small group, but it's very popular.
It used to be really popular.
Yeah.
And that was in the days before cell phones and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So it was, they gave you a sheet that just had an intersection or a turn, and you had to figure out where it was.
And it wasn't really timed. It was more of...
If you got to the end, you were lucky.
It was just accuracy. Navigating.
Or it was optimum time. That was the other thing they did, optimum time. Yeah. So if you went too fast, you were in trouble. But road rallies were fun. I remember doing those years ago.
Yeah. My stepmother, she used to do that. So,
golf we'll talk about a little later. One of the second most numbered thing, and I don't consider this a hobby. Video games. I didn't consider that a hobby, but I guess it is.
I've never been into video games.
I do have this World War II tank game that I play all the time. So, I do play some video games.
Yeah, I tried it one time, but it just, yeah, no.
RC racing was up there too. Yeah. And, you know, that's something, again, that's a niche that the guys that do it are really into it. And also the flying the RC planes, you know, that's the other thing.
Yeah. I think I would really like RC planes because I think they're cool. I do watch a lot of videos with RC planes. So
there's a RC airport, you know, if you call it that, I guess, over by the Florida Horse Park.
Yeah.
So you'll be over there at the Florida Horse Park watching a show and you'll see the planes flying over the woods, right beside you. Skiing. You probably skied, but I wasn't. I tried it once and almost died.
No, I love skiing.
Yeah.
That's why Mogi's name is Mogi.
Yeah, you said that because
She was a mogul in her mother's stomach. So,
do you still get to ski at all?
No, I haven't skied. I skied one time in the last 17 years.
Do you miss it?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But it's not the same on the East Coast as it was on the West Coast. Yeah. So it's not even worth it to me.
Now you'd have to fly out there to make it worthwhile.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Bicycling, that kind of cycling. And it was on the list for several horse husbands. That's one I like to do. I do like to ride bicycle. I never was a runner. I was not really good. I just got bored walking, but bicycling just made me seem like I was getting somewhere, you know?
So. Yeah. Yeah. I like mountain biking, cycling on the road. Yeah. Not so much. Or trail riding would be fine too, but
we have so many trails here in Florida that, you can go forever. And
it's flat.
Yeah.
It's flat. So
that helps.
You can do that. Yeah. Trail riding in the mountains is probably not as fun, but mountain biking, I've done it where you had to climb up the hills too. So it's a good workout, but going down is much more gratifying.
And then on the list was one of the most boring sports in the world, and that's baseball and softball. I was never a baseball fan. I did play when I was in the little league, but I always found it extremely boring.
Yeah, no, never played baseball.
Yeah, hunting and fishing.
I don't like fish, and I don't like killing things. So
I would take the gun for a walk when we had our when I first met Jennifer. She lived on a 100-acre farm that was in prime deer hunting spot, and her dad and brother were big deer hunters. Yeah. So I would take the gun out for a walk and make believe I was, sit out in the woods in the cold morning and then come back in and have hot chocolate. Yeah. That's pretty much
what. Yeah. I like shooting guns, but
I like target practice. I love target practice.
Nope.
A pool league was one of the answers and that's pool, you know, pool table.
Pool table.
Yeah. I didn't even know there were pool leagues. That's new on me.
Yeah, drinking beer and shooting pool, that's fun.
Bowling was one I used to, you know, everybody used to bowl some, right? But was never very good at bowling.
Yeah.
Cooking was on the list. And I think that's wives saying their husbands like to cook, meaning cook. Yeah.
They cook for you.
Yeah, exactly. that's what I think that was.
Yeah, yeah.
There were several that were in bands and, or played an instrument. That was the other thing. And I am tone deaf. So,
I haven't played an instrument since high school. So,
what'd you play?
Saxophone.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Wasn't very good.
Yeah. I think if you're a good saxophone player, you're a chick magnet, but you have to be good. Yeah.
You have to be really good.
Yeah. Motorcycles. Yeah. They just scare me. I never did them.
Yeah. Yeah. I've ridden them, but I could probably do controlled motorcycle racing, but not on the road.
Yeah, it's too dangerous in my opinion.
Yeah, the cars hit you.
Yeah, exactly. Especially here in Florida. Paintball. Now, I haven't played paintball in forever.
I've never played paintball.
Oh, we'd probably like that.
So, yeah, I probably would like it, but yeah.
And then there was a ton of others that were on the list of horse hobby, horse husband hobbies. I was surprised at the variety. But this one, and I've said this on the show before, I can't sing, otherwise I would have tried to do this. Her husband just finished his first musical, and he was in Fiddler on the Roof. I always wanted to play Teviev in Fiddler on the Roof.
Okay.
I always wanted to do that. It was my favorite musical. I always wanted to play the main character there. But, you know, that whole singing thing, just that was it. Yeah. I could probably handle the acting part, singing part, not so good. So, anyway. That's on, yeah. That's on the bucket list someday.
Okay. Someday I'll let you sing.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'm not good. They don't let me sing.
You're the actor and singer. I'm.
Yeah. Well, we're going to come back right after this word from U.S. Ryder with your guest. Jamie's going to join us, and he's a boyfriend of a horse woman. But you know what? He was the son of some serious horse people and has some stories to tell about that.
As horse owners, we spend a lot of time on the road. Let U.S. Ryder help keep you covered. Our equestrian motor plan offers fast, reliable, nationwide service from our highly trained roadside assistance team. 24/7 coverage for both you and your horse. Membership includes horse trailer servicing, towing, flat tire repair, even on dual wheels, battery assistance, and lockout service on any vehicle in your plan. We also have your equine companions covered with referrals for emergency vet services, farrier referrals, and emergency stabling assistance. Get peace of mind on the road for you and your horse. Join U.S. Ryder today.
Hey, Jamie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really well. It's pretty beautiful here in Aiken.
So how was Virginia for you? I think it was a bit rainy.
Yeah, Saturday morning was pretty sad. It was 42 degrees and raining. I was at Morven Park, beautiful Leesburg, Virginia.
Is that that's an event, right?
It is. They run up through an intermediate and below horse trials in the spring, and then a FEI international competition in the fall.
And we'll talk about why you were there a little bit later on.
Yeah. Beautiful place, Morven Park.
Yes. Yes, it is. It's got the big mansion and all the nostalgia of the South.
Sure does.
Yes.
And so, they take excellent care of it.
Yep, they do. Good state run park. So so Jamie, besides all what you're doing nowadays and everything, how was your you were your boyfriend of Morgan, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And the son of Jim and Susan Grinnell. Your dad, he's in a retired upper level TD and official for USEA. And your mother is an upper level rider. So you grew up with all this.
Well, I most certainly did. Grew up in central Massachusetts, in a little town called Uxbridge. And they have a farm there. Pretty much constant training and boarding.
Were they eventers?
They were, both of them. And like Rich said, my dad is a course designer and TD. And actually, this is his 50th year as a licensed official.
Wow.
Yep. And my mom just rode around a couple of prelim tracks last weekend. So she still competes. Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
It's a great family. So and your dad, I mean, he and I had a long conversation during Christmas about he's friends with, I mean, Jimmy Wofford, the late Jimmy Wofford.
Yeah, he was part of the heyday of eventing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He and I discussed a lot of the early eventing and whatnot. So I was a young child back then, but I learned a lot.
So. Those are the days where they were – it was pretty much pedal to the metal, and I don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the jumps now, they fall down. Those ones didn't. No. And they had little rails on a lot of the jumps that were like 4 inches in diameter. And I couldn't believe what we were jumping back then. So he had a chuckle about that. And he actually came out to Pebble Beach in California. I think he was out there when my sister did her first 3-day. So a lot of history. So
I always kind of think, you know, when he first got his TDing license, like the whole idea of it being a licensed position was relatively new.
And let's clarify for people who are, you know, are in that world, that's a technical delegate. They kind of are the, I don't know, what'd you say, the sheriff?
The walking rule book.
Yeah, they're the sheriff of the event.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So all the decisions they make are purely objective. You know, rules, specifications, dimensions. You know, he'd go to a lot of these events and he'd be kind of the only, you know, official there, representative to, you know, make sure these places fall within the guidelines, and he got to go to a lot of really amazing places as he was his career as a TD. So a lot of things.
How was it growing up, you know, with your parents and tagging along all the time? And what was your horse riding career?
It was a great childhood. I would pretty much go away every weekend. There'd be some sort of a competition going on, whether my dad was an official or my mom was competing. And then the kind of the interesting thing about my childhood was that they would spend half a year in Massachusetts and then half a year in South Carolina. So I'd start school in the fall in Massachusetts and go till Christmas. And then in Christmas, we'd ship all the horses down to South Carolina, and I'd start school in the first of the year, and I'd go to South Carolina schools, and then...
Which were better? I gotta know.
Which were better?
Yeah.
I have to be totally honest and say that they were all amazing. super hospitable, you know, and it kind of a complicated thing.
Yeah, I didn't even know that was allowed.
Testing. Yeah, exactly. And
yeah. Because
the curriculums were, you know, not totally synced up by any means. And I don't know if that's something that still happens these days or.
Were you able to have two sets of friends? I mean, did that work?
I was kind of that awkward kid that showed up in the middle of the year, but
and then you were the horse kid too, which doesn't help.
Let's all pick on him.
So, did you grow up riding too?
I did, not as much as I would like to. I ended up working quite a bit, and then I went to college. And in college, there wasn't a lot of opportunity to ride, so I ran. I was a good enough runner that I became a collegiate runner. And it's really hard to run and ride competitively. But the last couple of years, I've been able to do some riding in the late fall when I get to South Carolina, but not nearly to the extent that my parents have been.
So did your parents always go down to Aiken or?
They have. They kind of started the process, that migration the year before I was born.
Yeah. And they're buying a place down there in Aiken now. Correct.
They've owned a place. I actually bought a piece of property last spring, right across the road from them.
Okay.
And I love Aiken as well. It's a great place. And, So that chipping horses back and forth right after Christmas, going to school and, weekends away. It was plenty to keep you entertained all the time.
Yeah. I'm sure it did. Yeah. And busy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So Jamie, there was a story that I was told by your parents. I think it happened at Pine Top, possibly when you were younger, that your dad went separately from your mom in different modes of transportation and you got left behind.
Like a Home Alone thing?
In North Georgia.
North Georgia. Okay.
Yeah. And Jim drove all the way back and asked, "Hey, how was Jamie today? Was he pretty good?" And I thought you had him.
They left you at the show?
Yep. Packed the horses up, drove all the way back to Aiken.
How old were you?
Oh, I was probably tiny. I ended up staying with the farm owners, possibly overnight.
And that was before cell phones, probably.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There was no way that they would have known that. You know, the other one hadn't brought me back.
Oh my God.
And so you remember this?
Vaguely. I remember Vaguely. North Georgia, and then I remember them making me a big breakfast the next morning.
Yeah. Okay. So you weren't really concerned with the whole situation.
I had spent my life at horse trials. I was just wondering, you know, when it got dark, I was a little concerned.
Yeah, where am I going to sleep in the barn?
I thought that was a pretty funny story.
Okay, that's the first story we've had in 15 years in this show of somebody getting a kid getting left behind at the horse show.
Yeah. And now your mom and dad are probably going to get
all joking aside, they've been great parents. Yeah. One. 30 years, they make one little mistake.
Okay. We're not going to let them forget it.
No. Exactly. Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah, they are great parents, though. Your dad's a kick, so.
And, you know, Rich is right. Nowadays, they'd get arrested for the did that.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah. No, it wouldn't be laughing about it.
No.
Yeah.
So you went to pre-med in college. Did you end up getting a degree?
I did. Yep. Little school in Western Massachusetts, in Springfield.
So you did pre-med, but didn't end up going to med school then?
I did not. And to be totally honest, my plan was to go to vet school, but okay. They just didn't offer pre-vet. But essentially all the prerequisites are the same. I would probably have to take some sort of a zoology course to fulfill, vet requirements.
Well, I got to ask you, are you glad you didn't go to vet school now?
I kind of, between the running and being pre-med, I was pretty burnt out of college when I finished. And then I had, always been a course builder. And at the time, and it has been, I've kind of came into it at a big boom. There's been unlimited amount of work. So I kind of just got sucked back into it. And, as with all things, I guess I'll just do this today. And, I don't know.
And I gotta say, Rich, I looked at his Facebook page. Yeah. I imagine that girls were a bit of a problem in college too. He's a good looking guy. I don't imagine there was any shortage of the runner having girls either distracting him from work.
Yeah. Well,
he's not saying anything.
I can tell you
one thing about college. From my perspective,
okay,
like we just talked about, I had spent my entire life around horse people. I had, gotten up, worked with them all day, spent the nights there, lived in the house with my parents, and they're all their working students, and worked at the competitions, and I had made up my mind that I was going to go to college and just try and
do something,
live a
different,
normal life. Yeah. Not yeah. talk about horses and not talk about horse jumps. And, and it was great. I lived, in various, all the different housing situations, and it was just a great experience. And I did it mostly knowing that that experience would be good for me, overall. So, I have no regrets. It was great.
He still didn't acknowledge my statement, though. You notice that?
Well, mostly that. Nobody understood. What I knew a lot about. I didn't have any. I wasn't a mainstream sports guru, or I didn't.
Not a lot in common with the sorority girls.
Exactly.
So. Yeah. Well, there was a little fight between Mogi's working students. Over Jamie.
Oh, really?
Probably doesn't know about.
So. Morgan won?
Morgan won.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not so sure she'd say that. But. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got,
yeah. So,
that's funny.
I'm not the easiest.
Yeah.
None of us are, Jamie. None of us are.
Yeah. But you're the technical coordinator for the Green Mountain Horse Association, which is a great organization that has a beautiful facility in Vermont, South Woodstock, Vermont. And you built your little house there.
I did, about a quarter mile down the road.
Yep.
From the venue.
Yeah. Your house is more of a cabin.
That's right.
Yeah. I like it though. I like it.
Hey, as soon as you go in and you take that first hot shower in there, all progress stops. So it's done.
Yeah.
We could use one of those right now on our property we just bought in Ocala. So I'll have you come down and help with that.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, I'm sure Jamie could hammer it out.
I'm really good at making things functional. The next step,
not so much.
Yeah. No. He has a cool little house up there.
If you're up the Green Mountain, then you are friends with one of our good friends, and that's Charlotte Merrill Smith.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
She's a serious player at GMHA.
Yeah, she's a very good friend of ours. We knew her from Ocala here and spent a lot of time with Charlotte before she deserted us and went to Wellington.
That'll happen. So,
Yeah. Jamie's a great jump builder too, by the way. And I guess he has his email is equiprep89@gmail.com. So if you want some jumps built, he's the guy to go to. So
Now, are you, do you strictly do cross country?
Pretty much. If somebody really needs any show jumps, I'll try and make it happen. But setting up cross country courses is about all I can handle.
Now, is this something you wanted to do, or did Dad always have this plan for you because he was a designer?
That's a tough question. I would say he tried to steer me away from this.
Oh, path. Really? Yeah.
There in New England, he kind of was the guy. You know, he'd build and design. And I, you know, as soon as I became remotely helpful, I would tag along and we'd set up horse trials together. Probably when I was 10 years old or something like that, whenever I could lift things. And then I just kind of stuck with it and, you know, get a little bit better at it and become more efficient and find things you like to do. I've always just loved the properties and, you know, figuring out their individual characteristics. You know, I think the, you know, the property owners and the properties are just super cool. And it's always fun to be part of something like that.
We need to talk about Morgan. So your girlfriend, was it inevitable that you were going to end up with a horse girl?
Kind of seems that way.
Much to your chagrin, or are you happy about it? You don't have to answer that.
No, I don't know if I could have it any other way. So
she is a good cook.
She is a good cook. And Morgan has a little diversity, you know. She likes to do other things as well.
Rich said she was an artist and that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. She can paint your jumps. So
yeah. Yep. Oh, she has. Yep. Yeah. She gets recruited all the time. Yeah. She's actually been on a big decorating kick. Yeah. She's gonna decorate Morven in the fall, and she did the pine tops and yeah,
and
a bunch
she
of
helped.
It.
She helped with Fair Hill for the five, yep. last five
yeah, exactly.
star.
The five star.
Yeah.
Is she an inventor too?
She is.
So we have some questions that we ask every horse husband / boyfriend. Okay. And we want to ask those of you, what is the chore that you hate the most with the horses in the barn?
Cleaning tack.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Yeah. I thought I did as poor a job as possible so they'd never ask me to do it again, but apparently standard's pretty low these days.
Yeah.
It's just boring. So, yeah. Then we never do it right. I don't know why they ask us to help.
Exactly. Why do you ask me? Yes, you're going to be angry.
Exactly. It's like, oh, we didn't take that buckle apart and get underneath the little thingy bobber. You know, it's like, oh. What they don't know is I never took the buckle apart because I wouldn't know how to put it back together.
Yeah. And they want you to braid them all together. And when you put them up on the hook and like, well, there's three different varieties here.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. This is just to keep me humble, isn't it? I know what this task is for.
And to let you know that you're going to be wrong no matter what.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And this one's similar, but the one thing you refuse to help with in the barn. And I can give you a hint on that one.
One thing I refuse. What would your hint be?
It has something to do with horses' private parts.
Yeah. I didn't know if you could say sheath cleaning.
Oh, yeah. We talk about that all the time in this show. It's a favorite topic.
No, they've never even asked me to try. So.
Yeah.
So, that's a favorite topic here.
Yeah, those guys, those boy horses, they don't like that.
Yeah. No,
there's kicking involved.
All right. A product you can't live without.
Product, like a horse product.
Any product. Any product.
Oh, man.
With you, I would assume it had been a tool of some sort.
Yeah, rain gear.
Yes.
It's always raining. Yep.
At an event, it always seems there's one day of torrential rains.
Yeah, never enough rain gear.
I'm with you there.
Okay. And so what is your pickup brand of choice?
Pickup brand.
Your pickup truck. Yeah.
Well, I've had a number of various diesels over the I've had a Chevy 1-ton, and now I have a Dodge 1-ton. I would say my Chevy was a great truck.
Okay.
The Dodge is relatively new in my life, so I'll let you know.
Okay.
We have a GMC diesel now, and we really like it. I mean, knock on wood, it's been a good truck for us, and it's 2013 and, you know, still going.
Yeah, mine was a 15. Okay. You know, basically the Chevy GMs and GMCs
are the same.
Chassis.
Yeah.
No, that Duramax was a great.
Yeah, it is. It is. It seems to run.
Dodges are easier to work on.
Yeah. If we want to get into it, I will say the new Ram I bought does pull harder than my Duramax did.
But it's newer too, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they have put some things on them that, you know, help with that.
Yep.
Okay, last question. What advice would you give someone considering a relationship with a horse person?
I guess just learn to appreciate the horses. I mean, they're great if you can appreciate them. And you'll get to go some really cool places and meet really interesting people and, you know, be part of a pretty elite sporting, you know, group, which is cool. And
what happens if you don't end up appreciating the horses?
Well, be a lot of lonely dinners.
Yeah, you're going to be gone.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Don't ever say it's you. It's me or the horse, because you're out.
You're going to lose that. You're going to lose that battle.
Yeah. Yep. The next day.
You're going to just clean the tack. Yep.
The next day. Well, it's been fun having you on. Thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I love talking about this stuff. So.
And Jim and Susan, we're just picking on you, you know. Although that is a first in 7,000 interviews, literally, that I've done.
Man, I have endless stories about, you know, the hundreds of thousands of miles of traveling with horses. You know, you cannot help but create memories. And
you learned independence through all of that, though, didn't you?
Yeah.
Because you had to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, and I would say I was given a lot of freedom growing up, so which can go either way.
Yep. And you came out okay.
We think so.
Well, we should ask Morgan that. Actually, we should ask Morgan that to get an experience.
I could have been a doctor, but that's okay.
You'd have been on a call all the time in a nightmare. So,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's okay.
I can't. Sick animals just, it's hard. Yeah. It's hard.
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't want to be a vet. Yeah. No. They call you in the middle of the night. Yeah. Say,
I mean, we need more of them, so if you change your mind. But
Vermont, they'll pay your tuition if you practice if you promise to practice in the state.
Is that right?
Yeah. Or they were when I was.
That's a big chunk.
Yeah, when I was thinking about it. So now that there's a definite need.
There's going to be more of that because it's the only way we're going to get vets, especially the large animal.
Yeah. No, for sure. The day, it's a little bit better than, you know, when James Herriot did it, but it's not, well, yeah, it's still hard work.
You didn't have to take the horse and buggy to the appointment, so that helps.
Yeah, I'm not carrying a candle up a frozen, snow-infested mountainside.
Yes. Yes, especially where you live.
Yes.
Yeah, no, Vermont, still, it can be like that. Yep. Yeah.
Jamie, is there a place people can find you? Is Facebook the best spot?
Yeah, Facebook is probably the best.
All right, cool. I'll link to that in the show notes. We appreciate you joining us today.
No, thank you very much.
Well, that was fun. You know, he's a great guy. I just love talking to Jamie. What a neat guy. And I'll post his picture for all the girls out there. Yes, he is a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Kind of looks like a Crocodile Dundee.
He does. That's what I thought. That is what I thought. A younger version. Yeah.
Yes.
Right after this word from my new horse, we're going to hear from one of my oldest podcasting friends. His name is Gabe Aloisi, and he is part of Let's Play Through. He has a YouTube show there. And for all of your horse husbands that are into golf, you're going to want them to listen to this because he is a popular show.
For first-time horse owners and new riders, finding the information and support you need can be challenging. That's why Equine Network has partnered with Sentinel and Absorbine to bring you My New Horse. From important horsekeeping information and how-to videos to social media communities, exclusive experiences, and more, My New Horse is your one-stop shop for riders of all levels and disciplines looking for easy-to-understand horse care information and guidance. Start your horse ownership journey today. Visit MyNewHorse.com.
Well, Gabe, it's good to talk to you on my show. It's so fun to have you on.
Glenn, everyone knows you as the horse guy. I know you as the podcast guy, so it's amazing just to be with a juggernaut in the industry on your show. Thanks for having me, man.
And we've known each other for what, maybe 10 years?
I would say at least 10 years, yeah, because PodFest itself has been going on for 10 years. So, yeah, right around then. Absolutely. Yeah.
So we met, Gabe is a fellow podcaster, and I've known him for, you know, for 10 years. And when you started, you had a show, what was it called?
I started Private Club Radio based off the Horse Radio Network, and we created the Golf Radio Network from
that. That's right.
Yes.
God, that was a long time ago. Yeah. And you had a golf show, basically.
I did. So I helped these private club managers run their businesses better. And I got to learn a lot about how private clubs work and just the crazy, you know, things that can go wrong.
And you're talking private golf clubs, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Private membership clubs could be golf clubs, yacht clubs, business clubs, but generally golf clubs.
And is that where, I mean, were you always a golfer? Have you played since you were like a kid?
So yeah, it was my thing with my dad. My dad in his former life had been a golf professional.
And oh, really? I didn't know that.
He put a golf club in my hand at three. And so, yeah, I should be a better golfer than I am, to be quite honest with you, because I've been playing it for 40 years.
Did you play in college and all that stuff?
No, never did. No, I was a baseball player throughout high school. And it was one of those things, you could either be on the baseball team or the golf team. You couldn't do both. So unfortunately, never got to.
Did that excite your dad or did that disappoint your dad?
Oh, I think we just loved playing together. You know, it wasn't necessarily about the competition. I mean, we had the competition between ourselves, which was enough.
Yeah. So this love of golf has always been there. You know, this is a show about horse husbands. And of course, our wives are in a sport that is all demanding, all time consuming. And that's all they think about. That tends to be the same way with golfers, right? Are you married?
I am married, yes.
Has your golf thing ever gotten in the way of the marriage?
Absolutely. When I had to tell my wife I was going to take a trip to Bandon Dunes, you know, all of a sudden, and I was going to be gone for a week playing golf, those kind of conversations sometimes don't end so well.
So it doesn't have to be horses. It can be other stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, it can go hand in hand as well.
Well, you know, it's funny because we often joke about the fact that there's three very expensive hobbies in the world. First is horses. There's just nothing more expensive. Second is boats. Boats are close second. And then there's golf.
So, yeah, to that point, I just did a crazy review on my show, because since podcasting, I started a YouTube channel and I review golf equipment. And this company approached me to review their golf balls, and my eyes were watering when they told me the price, $250 for 12 balls.
What?
Which meant that if I put one ball in the water, that was like throwing a $20
bill. What are they made of?
Well, it's geeky. It's called amorphous metal alloy. But to make a long story short, the performance wasn't, in my opinion, you know, worth the price tag.
No, I would still be in the woods of the lake. I mean,
yeah exactly. A lot of us are going to lose them one way or the other. Yeah,
that's right.
I wouldn't even get it off the tee.
So, Gabe, I'm
a big fan of Costco golf balls. They're like a buck a ball, and it makes the golf a lot more fun, and you don't have to worry about losing them.
Mm, we used to buy them from the clubhouse, the ones they fished out of the lake. That's, you know. So, nice. I did play. I never told you this, but I did play golf for a long time.
A long time.
Yeah, I played golf for maybe 10, 15 years. I was in the investment world, and it was almost required. Now, I'm going to tell you, I sucked. I mean, I was the worst golfer. And, it got to be a joke because nobody wanted to play with me. So then I got to be the clown, which I always was anyway. But that gave me an excuse to be the clown on the golf course. And then, you know, people either take the clown one of two ways. They either really like the clown and think the clown's funny, or they hate you. So I was that guy on the golf course.
Were you the guy slanging drinks? Because that guy's always a fun time.
And the rubber chicken and all of that stuff. Yes, I was that guy. So
nice.
I just found it. One day I woke up and I was supposed to go play golf that day. And I said, I hate playing golf. Why am I spending all this money to play golf? Because it's expected of me and I never played again.
It can be a really frustrating game. Is it the same thing with horses? Is it a frustrating sport to get into?
Yeah, but the horses are kind of therapeutic too. I mean, you know, if you're just hanging out with them, it's very therapeutic and relaxing.
Well, I try to do the same thing on the golf course. I think that, to me, that's my therapy as well. Even if I don't hit great shots, it's nice to be out there. I think people do, you know, take golf too seriously sometimes. Well, a lot of the times they get upset if they hit a bad shot. And I think, you know, you should be out there and having fun and enjoying the walk.
That's why I like scrambles when I was playing, because I was like, okay, well, somebody's going to hit a good shot. It's not on me.
Right. Yeah. It's good when you got four guys to rely on.
Yeah, exactly. And then once during the 18 holes, if I got the best shot, I was happy. It's like,
oh, yeah, that feels good. You only need one. That's what gets you coming back, is that one good shot. Usually happens towards the end of the round, too.
So what, obviously, golf, I mean, having that first show opened a lot of doors. Now you have this popular YouTube channel called Let's Play Through. And you really do that. What you do is review. So any of the golfers out there, check out his channel, because he reviews all this stuff. And most of it now, I mean, I'm sure you had to buy it in the beginning, but are they coming to you now?
For the most part, yes. Yeah, I get a lot of manufacturers that want me to test their equipment.
Their $400 golf balls?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. That sort of thing. So it's been a little easier here the last few years, which is nice.
Now, we test products too, and we get products sent to us and test them and things. And I always wondered with your show, you know, you got to give the truth. You disclose that you maybe were given this product, but is it weird if you hate it? What do you do then?
It is weird. I always disclose if I ever get paid for review, and I don't do that many paid reviews to begin with. But I always have to tell the audience, because the whole ethos of my show is it's honest golf reviews from a mere mortal. So I've got to give, you know, my honest opinion, good, bad, or ugly. And I'll tell the brands up front, hey, I'd love to do the review of your product, but I'm going to say what I'm going to say. And always, I think, even if it's a bad product for me, there are going to be some positives that other people might get from it. So I always try to show, you know, who is this product best suited for? It may not be for me, but it could be for you or for someone else out there. And I think that's a good way to do it.
What's been the toughest part of the YouTube channel?
The toughest part of the YouTube channel is, well, it's not consistency, because, you know, I learned that in the podcasting world. The toughest
part, you learned that from 15 keynote speeches done by this guy, Glenn, who kept saying the first thing was be consistent.
Right, exactly. And that helped me throughout my career. I always had you in the back of my mind. But the hardest part, I would say, is really the ups and downs. So it's kind of feast or famine a lot of times. For instance, I released a video this week. I thought it was going to be a banger, and like 3,000 people watched it. And then I did another video that was very easy, and it just kind of flowed out. And that one, you know, is going to have 30,000-40,000 people watch it. So it can be frustrating when you think you know, and you never know.
Well, you know, we have that all the time with guests, because, you know, we've interviewed about 7,000 guests on this show. And Jamie and I think we're pretty good at this by now, 14 years later, right?
Sure.
And we get guests on, and we'll be done with the show and we'll go, wow, that didn't work. Either we didn't work or the guest didn't work. And then we get more comments about how people love that guest.
Interesting.
So now if we get done with the show and we go, well, that was a bad show, we go, well, that was going to be our most popular show of the week. If we didn't like it, it's going to be popular.
I used to say that in the marketing world, usually we do like an A/B test when I had a marketing agency, and that it was always the one I didn't think was going to be the winner always came out on top, it seemed like.
And then sometimes you can't figure out why.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's probably that way with your videos. You go, I don't know what I did different on that one that's now got, you know, 100,000 views.
Right. Yeah. The videos that have been the biggest for me have been the easiest, which is the one common thread, it seems like, where literally I just pulled out my cell phone, walked through Costco looking for, you know, cheap golf equipment at Costco. Those sorts of things took off. It's really weird.
Do you think it was the Costco keyword that did it?
That certainly plays a role. I think Costco's, and I think people are also, at least in the golf world, we talked about how expensive the sport can be. I think people are always looking for a good deal.
So speaking of that, you have traveled because of your show to some mighty interesting places. And I know one of them was in the Middle East. Tell us about that.
So, yeah, this is where the horse world meets the golf world, for me at least. I've only rode a horse twice in my life, but I got to ride one in a pretty amazing place. So I was in Qatar, the country of Qatar, And I was playing a golf course called Education City, which is a strange name for a golf course, but it's this part of Qatar, which there's a lot of universities and things. They call it Education City. In fact, a lot of American universities have campuses there, which is interesting. Well, the Sheikh also has El Shakab, yes, which is one of the, I'm sure you're listening.
Oh, it's the fanciest, the most expensive stable in the world. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was crazy. The horses there get treated better than a lot of the people in terms of like the care. Like they're massaging the horses daily. They literally have a swimming pool for the horses. They're the best fed, and you know they're just taken care of. Their hair is braided daily. It was unbelievable.
I am so jealous that you got to see that stable.
They literally had a treadmill for a horse. I couldn't, like, before I went and they told me what I was going to see, I just couldn't even believe it. I was awestruck when I saw the place.
And probably the cleanest stable you'll ever see in your life, too.
There was not a lot of poop. I will say that. Yeah.
Poop or dust.
Yeah, or dust, yeah. Or no. Shit. So you got to ride while you were there?
I got to ride, yeah.
What'd they put you on?
I was nervous.
Yeah, you don't want to break a Sheikh's horse.
I did have a helmet on.
So what did you get to ride? One of his Arabians or something?
Yeah, I rode an Arabian horse. It was an experience. I didn't go far. You know, I was in a little pen. And I went a couple circles. Like, you know, white knuckling it the whole time. But yeah, I got to ride a horse at El Shakab. Pretty cool story.
What was golf like over there?
Golf is, you know, so the people in Qatar have never even seen grass. And the people that built the golf course, the managers I was working with, were telling me, like, the kid, they'd have the school children come and they were like touching the grass as if it wasn't real. So we take grass for granted, but in the desert, you know, they've never seen this stuff. So immaculately maintained golf course. That was shocking. And what was also shocking is how much it costs. You can imagine being in the desert, water isn't cheap. It costs these golf courses over $1 million just in watering every year. But boy, some of the greenest grass you ever saw, and the conditions were immaculate. It was like being in a PGA Tour course. It was incredible. Okay.
Does the Sheikh play?
I don't think the Sheikh plays. I know it's technically the course is owned by, I believe, the Queen, because you know in Qatar all of the businesses are owned by the kingdom,
right?
So I don't believe he plays though. But there were some folks who did. Other thing that was interesting is, so in Qatar, you know, they wear, I believe it's called a thobe, which is that white, you know, beautiful white gown with the headdress. And literally the locker rooms in the golf course were super long. Like, you know, our lockers are like, I don't know, 4 feet tall or something. These lockers were like 8 feet tall, so they could nicely hang their thobes.
Oh, wow.
Really interesting. That. Really interesting. Yeah, it must be the same on a horse, too. They got to change from that into something a little bit more appropriate.
So what were some other places you played that were just that were the most memorable?
Well, I just, in the United States, I would say,
or anywhere, yeah,
what I feel like is my spirit course, you know, like a spirit animal. I would say Whistling Straits, just beautiful on in Wisconsin.
Oh wow.
It's just a beautiful property owned by the Kohler family, so the folks that make like kitchen sinks and toilets and things.
Yeah
Okay. They must have loved golf as well. So they built like five or six beautiful golf courses up there, and a couple of them right on Lake Michigan are just outrageously good.
Huh. I wasn't expecting. That's not a state I would have guessed you.
Yeah. Then I'd say Ireland would probably be my next one. I took a tour through Ireland.
Wasn't that like the Mecca anyway? I mean.
Oh, yeah. And there's a type of golf that I really love, which is called Lynx golf, which is usually on an ocean. No trees, but a lot of rolling hills and these deep bunkers, the deep sand traps that you see people get stuck in. And I just think it's fascinating.
Is that where they have the shaggy grass?
Yes, they do. Yes. They have all kinds of like tall grasses. And if you hit it in there, it's very penalizing for sure.
Yeah.
I played in Bermuda when I was playing the days and when I was in the financial world. And that was one of those kind of courses, you know, it was right along the ocean. Absolutely beautiful. I got to the ninth hole and they brought me aside because my shorts were too short. Apparently they were 2 inches above the knee and I had to buy a $80 pair of shorts to play the second nine.
Oh my goodness.
I figured that's a racket. They got all these Americans coming in with shorts that are above the knee, and they're like, there's another $80 pair of shorts out the door.
Oh, that sounds like that's good business.
It didn't help my game at all. Those shorts.
You also go to those places and you have to buy sunscreen, and they really jack the price on sunscreen too. It's like $40 for a bottle of sunscreen.
Okay, so I also know you love food, and most horse husbands are the cooks. So where's the best food you've had at a golf course?
Oh my gosh, that's a great question. Oh, I would say, and this is a course that I highly recommend people get out to. So in outside of Branson, Missouri, Haynes Valley, it's on the property that's owned by the gentleman, Johnny, what's his last name? The guy who owns the big outdoor stores.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Like Cabela's and Outdoor World or whatever. Yeah. And that, first of all, that's just an incredible property. But I had a T-bone steak in that, or a ribeye steak, actually, in that
Johnny restaurant. Morris, right?
Johnny Morris, yep. That's right.
Yep.
And that was probably the best steak I ever had in my life. And the whole, all the food at that course was incredible. Incredible.
What was the name of it again?
So it's Payne's Valley is one of the golf courses. The name of the property kind of escapes me, but okay. It's
Payne's Valley though.
Yep.
Very cool. I know that you did food as part of your show when you first started your show. Let's play through.
Yeah, I wanted it to be, I always want golf because, like I said before, I feel folks take it too seriously sometimes. I always want to show golf off as a recreational sport that you can really enjoy and also learn and experience culture from. So that's the nice thing about traveling for golf. You know, you go to a place like Ireland, you go into some of those Irish pubs, there's live music and, there's interesting things that each culture has. And I think food's a big part of culture as well. So I always love tasting the local delights when I'm somewhere.
Rich, did you ever play?
No. my brother played golf in high school, and I was never good. That's why I rode horses. But I did ride at Pebble Beach.
Wow, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Did they let you ride on the golf course at Pebble Beach?
Well, they had at the Bird Rock course. They had a cross country course there. And a hoof print on a green was $25 a hoof print. So you didn't go across the greens. We got to cut across fairways and whatnot, but it was, the Pebble Beach was a regular place during my childhood to go and ride, in events and whatnot. Though I got in trouble. My brother and I decided we're going to go collect golf balls off of the shooting range at the Pebble Beach course. And we got caught. So we had to give up our shirt full of golf balls. And then he took us back to our parents and scolded us. So
I have a funny story about that real quick. I grew up in Baltimore where golf, was again, kind of a weird sport for a kid to play at the time. And, In the city of Baltimore, where I'd play, the kids would steal your balls and then they'd sell them back to you.
Oh, wow. There you go. Yeah. Welcome to Baltimore.
Yeah. Well, we were just out in the woods around the driving range, going, oh, look at all these golf balls out here.
So yes. I got to ask you, Gabe, what has Topgolf? And I think if you don't know what that is, you can go check it out. But what has Topgolf done? I just think it's exposed so many new people to golf.
Yeah, it's exactly right. It's introduced a whole new generation, I think, to the game.
Well, it made it fun, like bowling alleys that did fun nights, right? I mean, it kind of did that.
Yeah, it's so nerve-wracking to step up to the first tee, as you know, Glenn. You know,
yes, I know.
especially if you don't feel very comfortable swinging the club. But of course, at Top Golf, you got food, you got alcohol's flowing, and there's music, and it's lively, and it's a lot more of a party environment, and it's a lot less intimidating.
Okay, yeah, guys at work have done that. Yeah, they go to the shooting range and get served alcohol, and as long as you don't get too loud, you don't get kicked out.
Is there something like that in the horse world as well, where you can kind of break into it a little easier?
Not like Topgolf, no.
Yeah.
So a dude ranch maybe would be the place. Yeah. I think a dude ranch would be the place where you could do that. Yeah. So So if you were, this is travel week here on Horses in the Morning. So we're talking about equestrian travel and that kind of thing. So if you were to say the one golf course that somebody should go to, hands down, for the whole experience, it's the place, the food, the golf. It's a place where you're going to go away from your horsey spouse while they're at a show for a week.
Glad I've been around the world, and I'd say that not too far from where we're at here, there's a place called Stream Song in Florida. And probably, I don't know, an hour and a half maybe from Ocala, maybe 2 hours or so.
Really?
And world class. I mean, the food is exceptional. They hired a chef there who is top notch. The experience, you can do fly fishing. They've got a shooting range. They've got archery. And they've got three incredible golf courses. And they've just built, actually, a fourth golf course, which is like a par three. So you can play that even at like nighttime, I think. They're going to put lights out there. It's just a fun time. Beautiful in the middle of Florida, in the middle of nowhere. You'd never think it existed. And it's a five-star establishment.
I'm checking out the pictures of it now. It's beautiful. I mean, it doesn't look like Florida. It's like...
No, the golf course looks like you're in Scotland or someplace because it's kind of in that Link style I was talking about. It's really, really special place.
Wow. See, who knew? So if you're coming down here to Ocala and going to the World Equestrian Center, your wife's going there, you can take a side trip for an hour and a half south of here and go to Stream Song.
Yeah. You'll be glad you did, guaranteed. Those courses there, there's, like I said, there's three main courses. I believe they're ranked number two, number three, and number four in Florida behind Sawgrass. So just a heck of a golfing experience.
I'm looking at where it is. It's below Lakeland. So it's about 2 hours from here. Yeah.
That's striking distance.
Yeah, for sure. Well, where can people find your show again?
So my show is Let's Play Through on YouTube. And if you go to youtube.com/Let's Play Through with a U, spell it with a U, you'll find me.
Okay, so I gotta brag on Gabe here a little bit because I have known him since he started podcasting. 72,000 subscribers and 15 million views. Congratulations, wow. My friend.
Yeah, congratulations. That's great.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
That's terrific. For a guy who doesn't know anything about golf and review stuff, you're doing pretty good.
I'm a mere mortal. I'm just a mere mortal.
Well, thanks again, everybody, for listening to our Horse Husbands episode. Where can people find you and Mogi? What's the website?
We really don't have a website, but Mogi is on Facebook at Fox Hill Eventing.
Very good. And tomorrow, Jamie and I are going to be back. We're going to do some really bad ads here on the show. But auditors, hang on, because we're going to have a little post-show here. I have to ask Rich about where I met Rich, actually, was on a cruise. So I have to ask him because he just got done with a blues cruise. I'm going to find out about that in the post-show. We'll see y'all tomorrow. So, Rich, you and I met on the first or second Horse Lovers Cruise.